Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
It is Steve, and thank you for joining me, and also Dr. Alice Benton and Chris Williams are in the studio, and we're very, very glad that they are. Hi, guys.
Howdy. Howdy, everybody.
How's it going today, guys?
It's going pretty well for me, I'll tell you that.
Yeah. Yes. I'm fresh off dirt biking. My first experience with it. We took the kids. Woo, this is a whole new world here.
Did you fall off? Did you stay on?
I was an observer.
Oh, okay. Yes.
Wait a second.
My family vote. I was the observer.
You can't say that.
My first experience dirt biking and I watched.
This is my first experience in therapy. I sat outside the door while my spouse got help. Come on.
You caught me.
Well, I'm just saying.
I wanted the audience to think I was cooler than I am.
Well, you know, I get it. I totally get that.
Right.
Moving right along.
Yes. All right. Yes. So I'm going to go to a call here in the first segment, which I rarely do. But I do want to tell folks that there is a pathway to strength and serenity. It's called the New Life Journal. A gift of any amount will send this to you. And it's beautiful inside. And it tells you some things that you might want to journal about. You can be on your own, but I love directed journaling. I think it's really, really very cool. We are now going to go to the calls. 1-800-229-3000. Ron called us from Denver, Sirius XM Satellite Radio. Hey, Ron, how are you?
I'm good. How are you doing, sir?
I am doing pretty good because Chris and Alice, well, they kind of cheer me up a little bit if I'm down. It's really always good to be with them. But how about you? What could we help you with? What's going on?
So I'm going through sexual addiction recovery. Been in it for about 7 months now, doing a 12-step program for it.
How's it going?
As I go through, it's going well. I'm working on step 6 and 7 right now, so I got through the hard part of step 4 and 5 and the full disclosure with my wife. Mm. And as I start working on these things, I'm finding some background family of origin issues that has uncovered basically generational brokenness.
Mm-hmm.
Going back at least 2 generations on both sides of my family, my mom's side and my dad's side.
Yeah.
And my parents have always been very shallow as far as not being able to ask meaningful questions or have in-depth conversations with me.
Right.
And they're continuing to do this during the recovery process. And it's starting to, I don't want to say drive a wedge between me and my wife, but we're trying to figure out how to have a healthy boundary with them as far as communications during my recovery process. I lived with them for about 3 months when I got kicked out during the recovery process for lying.
Okay, hold on.
And
hold on a second.
Okay.
So you're in recovery. You've done full disclosure. Now you're saying that because your parents have been kind of superficial and still are superficial, it's causing a problem with you and your wife. So explain how that causes a problem with her.
Because she wants me to be real and authentic, and she wants me to focus on my family and healing her and my family and going through the recovery process and working on myself first.
Yeah.
She doesn't want us to add in the extra baggage of trying to heal my parents, which I agree with 100%. I'm just trying to figure out how to establish a healthy boundary with my parents to where I can focus on my recovery and my family's recovery.
Well, what are they doing that's unhealthy to your boundary?
So they're texting me daily, and they're asking and making, well, they're making statements, basically. They're not asking questions. And when we've tried to open up to them about where we are, they don't reply back for 5 days. They act like it never happened, and they don't engage us. So.
Okay. Thanks for telling us that. We'll be back after this.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. We're talking with Ron. And so, Ron, you got to clear something up for me. So one of the problems is they're texting you all the time. But then when you reveal something or talk about something real, they don't text you for 5 days, right?
Correct. Yeah.
Okay, so you said that them texting you all the time is a problem. I don't understand. Then it seems like to me, the more real you are, the less a problem it is that they are shaming you or pressuring you or whatever they do in those texts.
It's a lot of it I've discussed with one of my therapists is living a fake life, having this fake persona. And they're trying to get me back into that role of living that fake life or living that fake persona for them to justify their brokenness.
Well, and Ron, you'd mentioned there, you're uncovering a lot of difficult things, a lot of painful things that go intergenerationally, right? And so so that's going to shape how you feel about your parents. It's also going to influence what you want from your parents and how you want them to be. And that makes sense, but your parents have shown up in a very particular way your entire life, right?
Correct, yeah.
So it's important not to expect them to show up in a different way. What they have shown you is exactly who they are, and I want you to believe them. Now, when you start with that reality, when you start with accurate expectations, then you could move towards boundaries. You don't have to answer their questions because maybe their questions are none of their business. You don't have to respond to how they are, the advice that they give, because my guess right now is that your parents don't know how to deal with the problem, so they're just trying to superficially fix the problem. But they are out of control of it all along, and all of their own stuff is coming up that they're uncomfortable with, and so they're displacing it on you.
Ron, I think you're really rocking the boat of a family who probably has accepted pornography use for generations, and now your wife is making a big stir, and I wonder if your parents are treating her like she's causing a problem for something that's not that big of a deal, and she might feel unsafe if they're not supportive of you needing help for an addiction they're engaged in as well. Is any of that true?
I would say that's about 98% true, correct?
That's pretty true, 98%.
I'd go with 98%.
I'm shooting for 90% anytime, and yeah.
It's very intimidating go ahead, Ron, go ahead.
What she has expressed to me is that when I get into that role of engaging them in the fake life, the fake world that they've portrayed forever, that it almost triggers her to where she sees the old addicted Ron.
Okay, right. So, Ron, what we have to do is stop doing that. It doesn't do any good, and it's hurting you and your wife. So what is the conflict here? Why do you want to? Well, maybe you want to do it because there is some of the old Ron emerging there, you know?
Yeah.
One of the worst trite sayings is you can't teach a pig to sing. You know, they're not very good at it, and it's irritating to them when you try to teach them to sing. And your parents, they can't do what you want them to do. They just can't do it. I remember, you know, I was the chief therapist in an alcohol and drug treatment center while I was studying counseling. It was kind of a very interesting thing. People said, "You're the chief therapist?" I said, "Yeah, I can't believe it." Anyway, but I remember in a session with a couple, And he had been drinking a long, long time. This was Texas. You drink a long time before back then, before you got help. And I was asking him, do you have any insight as to why your wife might be so upset with you? And he had no insight whatsoever. And I remember her saying this. She didn't have very good grammar, but she made the point. You can't get no blood out of no turnip. That's what she said. She was saying he just doesn't have it in him. And they don't have it in them. And I think you ought to be dealing with, why would I ever even think about that, worry about that, attempt that, if it's any problem for my wife? Look at the problem I've caused for her, the pain I've caused. Why wouldn't I do just about anything that she said would be helpful to her? Alice, you have a final thought here, Chris?
Ron, when you imagine telling your parents, I need to take a step back from communicating for a while because I'm dedicated to my wife and to my recovery, and I just need to thin out what I'm doing, to focus, to narrow my focus in on this. So I've got to take a step back from you folks for a while. What do you feel, Ron, imagining saying something like that to them?
I feel a little bit like I'm not being a good son, but then I also feel that I am putting my recovery and my family, my immediate family, before them.
So exactly right.
I'm
there.
Conflicted.
I don't want your parents to be able to determine for you whether you're a good son or not. You're a good son. Ron, you have engaged in a recovery process that you're telling me right now over the last few months that you are right on schedule, right on time, and it's some of the hardest work anyone can do on planet Earth. I really believe that. You are good. The Father in heaven says you are a good son. And it doesn't have to do with necessarily good behavior. Now, let me end with this principle. The same people who are part of the problem cannot be part of your solution.
Yeah.
Do you hear that?
Yeah, I hear that.
Okay, but it comes with consequences and risks that we have to set boundaries, and those boundaries can create loss or separation. But it has a definitive purpose, and that is the value of your marriage, your recovery, and ultimately your well-being.
Now, Ron, you said that you don't feel like a good son. I think a lot of times when we have a pornography problem, looking at dirty pictures, things like that, it's not that we don't feel like a good son. We feel like a bad little boy.
That's good.
And man, if a parent can put us in that bad little boy place, we're in trouble. And it's not good. What wife wants to see her husband get off the phone as a bad little boy now? Of course she's going to be upset. She wants the man. She wants the recovering man, the transforming man, and you can be that. You can do that. I know you can. So I might even say to her, you know what? I get it. I'm sorry. I haven't seen this clearly. I am not engaging them in that anymore. And I'm so sorry that after all the trouble I've caused, I didn't respond to you sooner. I think that might be something that would really, really be helpful there. All right, let's go to Terry, New York, New York, and showing right up on Facebook there. That's what it says. Okay, hi. How you doing, Terry? Hi.
Well, I have a question.
Okay.
I've been married for 15 years,
mm-hmm.
But 17 years ago, I had ECT, mm-hmm. electroshock therapy, and I told my husband before we got married because I thought that he should know,
mm-hmm.
and he's been telling everyone for the last 15 years. He's been telling everyone, the church community, neighbors, friends, everyone. He's been telling everyone, and I'd like to know, how do I deal with that?
Okay, well, don't you think that's a symptom of insensitivity, uncaring, disconnection between the two of you? Wouldn't that be the bigger problem?
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
but yeah, I don't know how to handle it because I can't stop you from talking. He tells everyone.
Yeah.
And Terry, when you bring that pain to him and you point out what he's doing and how it hurts you, how does he take that from you? How does he respond?
Actually, I'm not really embarrassed about it because I believe in talk therapy and I believe in whatever helps you, you know, with your problem. It was because my grandfather had, you know, molested me when I was 12.
Hmm.
And I kept it quiet until it had just stayed with me for years and years. And the fact that the people know, that doesn't bother me because, like I said, I believe in talk therapy and whatever helps. You know,
Terry, I think your answer to my question is that you don't tend to tell him that it hurts you.
No, I don't. I just tell him to please stop and why are you doing it? That's
okay.
What I say.
There we go. Alice has gotten us right where we need to be.
You were molested and wounded at such a tender young age. And the world around you told you to keep it quiet, not necessarily allowed, but that was a message that you bought, that you believed that you had to keep it quiet. But then you were brave to get therapy and to be willing to take a therapy that can sound scary, but it can be also very effective. But I think it has stuck with you to generally keep your pain quiet. So your husband is being rude and he's being disrespectful. What would it be like? How do you think he'd respond if at a time that it's not happening, you let him know, I've got this ache and pain that's been around for most of our marriage, that you talk about something that's so private to me. It really hurts. Do you know that it has hurt me that much all this time? How would he respond?
I think he wouldn't say anything, but he'd continue to tell people. He wouldn't say a word if I confronted him about it. Because I have, and he didn't say anything. He lied and said that he didn't tell anyone, but one of the people in the church told me that he told him.
Terry, why do you think he's doing this? Why do you think he's telling people?
I'm wondering, does he hate me?
Well, that's brutal. That's and so I think, as Steve was saying, there is a deeper issue, and that is the lack of deeper connection and respect and love that you share in the marriage. Is that? It sounds like he is using using your struggles against you. And anytime someone does that with us, they become an unsafe person. We break trust with them. We can't be close to them if they don't respond to our hurts or the way they're hurting us. And somehow it seems like he's using this information against you, but you don't even know why, and he's not talking about it. And I really think that you guys could get into some real good couples counseling to talk about that. This actually, as painful as an issue this issue has the opportunity to open up many more doors on the inside of you and him on what's actually going on in your marriage.
Okay. I'll do that. I'll suggest that.
Yeah. Now, I think that if someone ever comes to you and says, you know, he told me this, you need to take all the power out of it by saying, shocking, isn't it? Or something like that, where they see you've dealt with this.
Yeah.
And then you might even ask, don't you think there are a couple of people you know that maybe they'd benefit from this if they would undergo this? Now, I want you to know that there are certain people. There's a wonderful, wonderful talk I listened to online of a surgeon who sank into this deep depression, and they had to pull him out of the hospital. He was, and he went through something like, I forget the exact number, but 36 different sessions of ECT, and none of it helped him until the last session. Everything changed. And I worked with a physician in Fort Worth who was depressed, and this was the only thing. Sometimes, you know, you don't ever just volunteer for this, sometimes it's the only option. And sometimes when it is, it actually does produce a good result. So I'm glad that you did it. I'm sorry you're married to a very cruel, immature man. But I think if you can say, this is killing me, it's hurting me, it's going to help.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. All right. Alice, I believe you wanted to say something that will change her life here, didn't you?
Indeed I do.
Okay.
Terry, that evil molestation that took place gave you a belief that you're a helpless victim that can't do anything about it. And that is a lie from the accuser. And so I take a stand against that lie on your behalf. And I want to declare that you are not a helpless victim. You are a courageous risk taker. And you have been for years. And God wants to take what seems like shame. The world says it's shame. And he wants to redeem it, so that it can be your testimony that you let shine out on the hill to give courage, the courage you have, to other victims. And that would snatch the power from your husband to be able to use your story for harm and for wrong, when God wants to use it for your good and the good of others as well. I'm so proud of you for what you have fought. And God has a mighty work for you to do, Terry.
Yeah, I want to give you a suggestion that that you say to your husband. I think you may not be aware of the impact that you telling people about the ECT I had. I don't think you're fully aware of the impact that that has on me. That particular type of therapy, as strange as it was connected to me being sexually molested as a little girl. And when you just casually reveal that, you're opening up that wound of sexual abuse, and I feel abused by a man all over again. And I'm going to ask you to think more about how I feel than about your desire to have something clever or something unique to tell people. Find another story to tell, because mine is sad, it's tragic, and it seems like you don't really care about it. I think that would, just to tell him that, hopefully he will respond. But I want you to know, here's what God wants for your husband. God wants you to have a husband. The last thing in the world he would do would bring up something like this. He would not just be married to the adult woman. He would appreciate that younger woman who was abused and do everything he could to help her heal from that. That's what you deserve, not this.
Yeah.
And I think it's time that you not settle for this, that you ask him to be the man that God called him to be. Be the husband that God called him to be. And I'm really glad
I'll
you
do
called.
That. I'll do
okay?
That.
All right. I want you to hold on. I'm going to send you Healing is a Choice. And on Going Deeper, I am doing Healing is a Choice, doing the series. And I hope maybe that Terry would tune into that on YouTube. Going Deeper, about 15 minutes or so. It should be named Going a Little Bit Deeper. Because, you know, it's not deep, deep, but it's a little bit deeper. And we're covering some things that I think are really, really important in our relationship with others and our relationship with God. All right, let's go to Angie from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, listening on Sirius XM Satellite Radio. Angie, how are you today?
Hey, okay, Steve.
What's going on?
I'm looking for any tips or advice on being able to let go of resentment, anger, and bitterness after a marital betrayal.
Oh, dear. What happened? Was it an affair, or what was it?
Yep.
And was it with someone you knew by any chance?
His banker.
His banker. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
I am so sorry.
Me too.
So sorry. How did you find out about it?
I knew something wasn't quite right, and that wasn't that abnormal. But I really think God prompted me to look at a device, and then I saw text messages that were on his phone and on this device, and it was quite clear.
Oh,
what
my
was going
goodness.
On.
Boy, that had to be devastating, huh?
I fancy myself a pretty tough woman, and the word panic would have described me then. And I was angry even about being panicked. Like, you don't do that to me, you know?
No, that's really true. I mean, when I found out that I had been betrayed, fear, it was just bone-gripping fear is what I felt. Through that. What was his response when you said, okay, here's the evidence? How did he respond to that?
He's very non-confrontational by nature, and I'm very confrontational. So there
Don't explain him to me. Don't explain him to me. Tell me what his response was.
Shirking, answering me, euphemisms instead of outright truth.
And since then, has he come back to you with, okay, yeah, you're right, or tried to clarify with truth, or not?
No, just casual euphemisms.
I'm sorry. I'm really sorry. All right, you hold on. We're going to give you some help for this. You're listening to New Life Live, 1-800-229-3000. If you have a question, we really do want to help you here. But we'll be back after this. By the way, you can get that New Life Journal at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the new member thank you gift of 7 books, including Growth Has No Boundaries by Drs. John Townsend and Henry Cloud, Take Your Life Back by Steve Arterburn and Dr. Dave Stoop, and the Emotional Freedom Workbook. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today. Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. We're talking with Angie, and I am so sad that she has been betrayed like this, and then the response after she finds out and has the evidence and presents it is just nothing. And, you know, I'm telling you guys, no matter how crummy things get and what you do, you can get all of the stuff back, all of the relationship. Even some people say we've gone beyond where we were because the recovery process gets you deeper into your muck and mire and get out of that. And then now you're it's like you become a different person, and the person you hurt is able to say, okay, I see the difference, you know, he's really doing the work. But this continuing to lie and dabble and all that doesn't help anything.
Angie, when did you first learn that emotions are dangerous to feel?
Oh, that's a deep one. Probably in childhood.
And what would you think is the biggest thing, the most impactful thing that taught you it's not safe to feel?
That probably that if I was angry, it there was no one there with the capacity to help me unwind that, to sift it out, to untie the knot and say, okay, what's really going on here, girl? It was mostly met with similar
anger. So when painful or hurtful things or confusing and frustrating things happened for you, you didn't have a safe place to put that.
No.
Yes, so it turned into resentment and bitterness and frustration. So you've been dealing with that for a long time, and then this, but how you learned to show up in the world was like, okay, I'm going to put on my tough suit. I'm going to put on my tough girl face and be unaffected by other people. And so now that your husband has done this horrifically painful thing to you, you're not only mad that he's done the thing, but you're also mad that it's actually affected you. It's impacted you.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Yeah. And that is doubly frustrating. And Angie, I just want to encourage this process, even though it's very difficult, and it's why we need guidance in the process, is because when we haven't had a place to put our pain never gets healed. And so the important process is going in and finding a safe place where we can then go and touch and to see and touch and heal our pain. But to avoid our pain is to just keep the resentment, the bitterness, the anger, the frustration alive and growing. And so for our first steps in that process is we have to do the hard work of recognizing exactly how much I am hurt, how frustrated, how confused, how much pain I actually am carrying. And I'm telling you, you will discover a completely new definition of tough that will make you more resilient than you ever imagined. Because you don't need to avoid difficult or painful situations. You can then learn to move through them and become stronger as a result of it.
Angie, I'm actually concerned for you that your question is about how to move past the anger and the resentment that you have, because there may be very good purpose in your anger. I think you might be afraid of your anger because maybe you've acted out in very unhealthy ways with your anger. Is that true about you?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I get ugly.
Mm-hmm. And how fresh is this wound of the discovery of your husband's affair and his lack of acknowledgement of what he's done?
I did count fingers and toes. It's been about 8 months.
Only 8 months. Mm. And are you still with him?
No, he's fully committed to the new relationship, but we are still technically married. He filed for divorce, and I have a lot of financial stuff, for lack of a better word, to try to figure out. I've been dragging my feet because that's not who I am. But it has to be done. And it's
get a friend or somebody to help you with it, because you want to be sure that you're not left high and dry here. And because he knows that this isn't what you do, or it's not a strength of yours, he takes advantage of you financially. That would be a horrible thing. I'd hate to see that happen for you. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Angie, I think in all of these men, I was one, there is this kind of subconscious desire to be found out and to stop being this way. And then they get found out and they continue this way. But I think it's under there. And when you think back on dating and your early experiences with him, can you think of anything that kind of revealed a bit that there could be trouble up ahead?
Maybe not directly that question, but something you were saying at the beginning of that sentence resonates with me.
What's that?
Unknown to me, I I point blank asked him about the role pornography did or did not take in his world, because I that would have been a deal breaker for me prior to marrying him. I'm his third wife, and he's my first husband, so I knew there were cautions there. So I asked that question. It was answered in the negative. It's not important to me. And I only had about 30 seconds to decide whether he was speaking the truth or not. Fast forward about a year and a half later, and in a very easy place to access in a filing cabinet that I was simply going through to try to organize, I find evidence of pornography use that went right back to that date and beyond.
There you go.
When we were dating, when we were engaged, when we were married, etc. And my question, which relates to the beginning of your question, was why in the world did you not destroy that evidence at that point and for there on after, when it was so easy for me to find?
Yeah.
Why in the world would you let it there? You know, if I lied to him, I just instinctively would be like, oh dear, I've got to clean up so nobody ever finds out that I lied. And the only thing I got years and years later was, well, I never dreamed you'd get in the filing cabinet.
Well, the addiction you know? Has so depth of deception that it has a profound self-deception. Like he's living in a completely different fantasy world. You know?
I would agree with that.
But I want to go back to something that Steve was getting on. Is like, hey, what's going on inside of me that in getting to know someone that I can follow up, that I can investigate, that it doesn't take 30 seconds, it takes 30 months, 30 years to get to know someone as long as they're being transparent and honest. And so mm-hmm. I think at the end of the day, this sounds terrible, but I think this divorce may be salvation for you. Because
people have said that to me.
Well, yeah. I mean, if he's not going to turn around, he's not going to make a change here.
And so he's on his fourth victim now, right?
Yes.
Do you know why the first two marriages did not hold? Why he didn't stay in those marriages?
I know what I always believed, which now I question, but he says that they both cheated on him, which is why I felt pretty secure as wife number three that he wouldn't cheat on me.
Sure.
mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I was wrong, and people have said now, are you sure that he didn't cheat on them too? I'm like, no, I'm not sure of anything.
Yeah.
No.
Sorry.
Angie, I don't think your primary focus is how to get rid of your resentment. I think it's to find the middle ground between a vicious anger of yours that has been, perhaps you've been sinful in your anger, to finding the healthy, righteous anger that motivates you to take protective action, to figure out your finances, to separate from this unhealthy man. And then there's space and energy to be able to work on the resentment. Because of course, we are called to release that. We're called to pray for our enemies. We're called to forgive. But we have to get safe first. Mm-hmm. And we have to be allowed to be angry with God, with your husband, anybody else you need to be angry with, to feel it first. Then we'll have the freedom and the space to work on the resentment.
Yeah. All right. I'm glad you called. And thanks for letting us get into all of the different areas here that we were able to get with you. If you're the guy, if you're like him, you could do something before you get caught or before you spend your whole life trying to avoid getting caught. It's called Every Man's a Battle. It's one day, online, easy to access. The results are pretty amazing. And you go from being a little boy looking at bad pictures to a man, a real man.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. And Chris, you have an anger revolution strategy. Is that right?
Anger revolution. Well, it is revolution in the sense that, you know, we're protesting. Our anger is a protest to some sort of injustice, some sort of wrong in the world.
Yeah.
But what we don't oftentimes recognize is what is on our protest sign. And so oftentimes in my office, what I have people do is get out a piece of paper and draw a few signs. And I'm like, if you're holding up a protest sign to the world or this person that hurt you, what is on your sign? Mm-hmm. Can you give three, four, mm-hmm. five words? And once we start identifying what's on our sign, like stop hurting me, stop treating me poorly, stop lying to me, or other things like treat me well and I matter and I'm important, then we start to recognize, you know, what our true value is, what has been violated, and then what we need. But oftentimes our anger just comes and spits out in all of these weird mm-hmm. and destructive ways because we're not reading our own protest sign.
Yeah. Now, Chris, you're dealing with somebody that's angry.
Mm-hmm.
Does anyone ever say to you, okay, art teacher, this is what I'm paying you for. You tell me what I'll be on the sign. Anyway, yeah. I love it when the counseling gets us doing something
yes.
that might, because really, when you're doing the sign, you're tapping into another part of the brain that kind of can free up that part to maybe look at some things it wouldn't normally look at. Well, let's look at Larry Sonnenberg. He's in the studio right now. And Larry, thanks for being here and doing all that you do. And thanks for coming.
Thank you.
What do you got for us?
Well, first, let's give an update on Dave Stoop, okay?
Okay, yeah.
I know you talked to Jan. I've talked to Jan.
Yeah.
I've talked to his son. So fill in the blanks for me as I go. But Dave started in October with two strokes. He's been in a hospital for several weeks. Then he went to a rehab facility to try to get him prepared to come home. When he was there, he fell into a coma, and he was having some AFib with his heart. And so they took him to emergency to another hospital, and that hospital had success. He went septic and was really struggling,
mm-hmm.
but they fed him some very strong antibiotics, and a day or two later, family got a phone call. He's up watching television.
Mm, that's great.
I thought he was not going to recover from when they took him to ER.
Yeah. That,
it really, and you know, I was talking with Jan about, well, we just have to accept and there's no bad mm-hmm. news for Dave and stuff, but I said, we'll continue to pray for a miracle, and I think it really is a miracle. They could not wake him.
Yeah.
So,
Mike said they removed his ventilator yesterday.
See? Wow, that's great.
There you go. All right. So just continue to keep praying for Dave. We love Dave. I love Dave. He's the guy that always could go to, one of the most consistent, safe, and brilliant wise men that have ever walked this planet.
And pray, before we go, pray for Jan. Yeah. They've been married, I think, 63 or 64 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
She has not been able to see him since October.
Oh. Wow. Yeah. Yeah.
I think once or twice, maybe through the window kind
it's
of
horrible.
A thing. So
horrible.
Pray for Jan. That's
Please
really
do.
Hard.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, what do you have for us, Larry?
I've got a letter from somebody that sent us a year-end gift. I want to read this to you.
All right.
I've sent a year-end gift in addition to my monthly gift. She's a brand new Club New Life member. I've now fully realized that your podcasts have been my lifeline through the pandemic. In a new city without friends or church, but with my wonderful daughter, I have relied on your program more heavily. What I started out listening to on my walk is quickly becoming something that ministers to me directly. And then she put in parenthesis, from God. And I want to take notes now. I have some counseling education. I've had a hard time sometimes blending counseling and Bible study, but I'm finding that they dovetail. I'm also enjoying How We Love, finding out that I have been more of a Pharisee in many ways. Please make me part of Club New Life. Keep up the good work. Happy 2021. And she signs her name.
I love that.
So, folks, you know, she's listening to a podcast, but New Life is so much more than that.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing wrong with listening to the podcast, the radio program. But we have counselors you can get help from. We have resources. We have workshops. And speaking of workshops, we've got an intimacy in marriage coming up. Mm. It's not that far away.
No, it's less than a month, one day less than a month, February 13th. It's on Valentine's weekend. And, you know, what woman would not be just the most appreciative, grateful person to to hear him say, look, for Valentine's Day, why don't we, that weekend, why don't we go and let's work on us? And here's the thing. I just don't know if folks ever are disappointed in going. Mm-mm. They either have a better marriage or they understand themselves better, or they're one of these folks that everything changes. It is just bizarre how good things get, and that's what we want to see happen. I mean, you go, Larry, you go to that, you go to Every Man's Battle. We've both been to Restore. These things change lives, and
several of us have said that one of the reasons we love going to these workshops is that, and listening in on the Zoom calls, we get a front row seat to seeing the Holy Spirit do a work that lives are turned around. Attitudes change. Hope is there. Mm-hmm. We know that the Holy Spirit did a work on a heart and a mind, and it is just the best. It's what keeps us going. It was not in my job description to go to workshops.
No. Mm-hmm.
But I love going, and I will continue to go.
Yeah. Well, I think the other thing that a lot of people aren't aware of, the workshops have changed the way the counselors that go do counseling. Mm-hmm. Over and over, I have heard people say, okay, this is a concept that I talk about now, or I help them deal with, and I didn't before. And when it comes to how we love, you know, Mylon and Kay's material has really revolutionized the way couples therapy goes for a lot of people. So we're all changing.
I'm a firsthand witness to that, because I've gotten to go as a group leader for these weekends, and I sit in all the lectures and I take so many notes. And not only is my work as a therapist better, my family is better because of what I have learned and then learned how to apply, and gotten the supportive community around me as well to keep it in practice. It changed my marriage so much for the better, and my parenting with my kiddos.
That's what we like to hear. And I know your husband wants to hear it, too. So thank you, Alice, for sharing that. All right, Larry, thank you for being with us here today. Sure. And anybody that can help this ministry help others, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It's just that simple, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. And I'll also encourage them to go to newlife.com and look at all of the things that we're involved with. It's pretty phenomenal, I think. And we've got workshops, we've got books. We've got tapes, videos. There's hardly a subject we haven't covered in those videos. Just go check it out, see what's there. I think you'll be glad you did. Thank you. Larry.
And we've got a podcast.
And we have a podcast. Yeah. Did I forget that?
Yes, you did.
What's the matter with me? All right. So thank you, Larry. Sure. Well, we are just about out of time. I want to encourage you to do whatever you can to become the person that God has called you to become. Don't do nothing, and do something. We've got Intimacy in Marriage, February the 13th. Every Man's Battle, February the 6th. Do one of those. Restore, if you're the woman, February 27th. All of that coming up. You could change your life and the life of your family. Hope you will. Thanks for joining us. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. You need some help, newlife.com. Thank you, Chris. Thanks, Alex.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.